And this is Dr. Will Tuttle. It's August 19th, Thursday, the third Thursday of August 2021. And Madeline and I are live here in Northern California, where we've been without internet or power or visibility for the last day or two, but it's much better now today. And it actually hasn't been too bad. We're very grateful for all the blessings that we have here. And our garden is coming along well. There is a big fire, I guess, north of here, which is covering, seems like, most of the upper part of the state in smoke. And we have PG&E turning off the power now and then, just to keep everybody on their toes. We have solar panels and a house battery, so that's not too bad. But then the internet goes down every time they do that. So I'm so glad it's up again today, because I was a little concerned about our wonderful gathering. So I'm delighted that we're able to do this through the technology that we have. And we live in such a tumultuous, challenging, and awesome time on this planet. I think these are the days that people will be talking about for a long time. The many changes that are happening, and I think more than ever, it's critical that we make an effort to understand the power of our food choices and our treatment of animals and the earth and of each other, question all the narratives in our society, and I mean all of them, especially about health and nutrition and what is natural and normal for a human being. So, let's see, I will go ahead now, and what I'd like to do, I think, is give us the opportunity here in the beginning to join together in a meditation, and then I'll open it up for, if you have any questions. I'd like to talk about a few of the issues. I don't have a special guest this time. Last month, we also went without a special guest, and I really loved it. Although there are some people I'd like to have on, and probably next month we will have this wonderful fellow who's been putting on a lot of veg fests, live veg fests all over the East Coast and Florida. We'll be speaking at a bunch of them. He lives with his wife in a car. I mean, we have a little van, but he has just a Tesla car they live in. They literally live in it. Very interesting guy. But and longtime vegan too. So it's amazing what vegans can do. All right, so let's see. Somebody wrote, today is Thursday, August 19th. So maybe I made a mistake. Thursday, August 19th. And let's see if there's anything else. Well, good to see Judy's here. Yay. I just want to mention here at the beginning, in case I forget later, that we're looking forward to the Vegan Spirituality Conference and retreat that'll be coming up at Unity Village. First time ever a vegan event is being held at Unity Village, which was really one of the pioneering forces in bringing veganism into North America 100 years ago or more. And then it got suppressed by the Unity administration and ministers and so forth. But we're bringing it back. So that'll be at the very end of September, the 30th, and then August 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. Excuse me, October 1st, 2nd, and 3rd. And so we'll be driving out for that. That's the plan anyway. And probably doing some lectures on the way out and on the way back in Arizona, maybe in New Mexico and Oklahoma, as well as Colorado and Utah and maybe Nevada. So that's kind of fun to think about the possibilities. I don't know if it's going to work, but we'll see. So, gosh, it's great to, and this is actually, maybe I'll say one more thing, just to put this into perspective for Madeline and me. Today's August 19th. Tomorrow, August 20th, is our 28th wedding anniversary. So we're delighted to be happily sharing our life together. Oh, here she comes, the bride, the beautiful bride.
Hello.
That was a cameo here from Madeline. She's been working hard in the garden. I just did a whole cement bag, working on fixing up the stone walls here on our terraces, and she's been harvesting apricots and what else? And pumpkins, right?
Yeah.
I think.
Yeah. Yeah, pumpkins winter squash, and cucumbers, and today a few raspberries that counted, and
apricots,
goji berries,
figs,
just a few.
Yeah.
Really beautiful.
Peaches.
We have grapes and peaches, and
it's been
really fun, and some greens.
Right, obviously.
Lots of herbs.
Right. Maybe we'll hear from Madeline a little bit later if we're lucky. Thanks, sweetheart. All right, so so much happening here, but so that's it. That's basically it. Tomorrow's our anniversary. I don't keep track of anything else, but that's it. So, all right, so let's go ahead and get started with our meditation. I'm sitting here at the piano, which is I'm always very grateful for this piano. I talked about it on the first Thursday. I told the story. So if you didn't hear the story, you can listen to the recording for the first Thursday of August of how the miraculous appearance of this piano we call Yuma in our life. Best piano in the universe. And so let's just go ahead and take a moment and join together in a shorter meditation than we do on the first Thursday, just to begin our time together. Ourselves now to just relax into this beautiful space of love, a space of kindness, this awareness of unity. Our unity with the source of all life. Our unity with the infinite truth that is shining always in our hearts as inner wisdom, the truth of being, of our infinite interconnection with all forms of life. With every exhalation, we let go letting go according to the greatest enlightened spiritual teachers and masters. There is no greater teaching than the teaching of letting go. Letting go is the ultimate teaching. There's no greater teaching. So we practice letting go. Of even the being who is letting go. Pure awareness that is eternal and ever present. It was never born and will never die. That is infinitely undamageable, radiant, luminous, self-arising, whole and complete. storehouse of all possibilities. Letting go. Entering this present moment, giving thanks for each other, for all of our loved ones, for the caring in our hearts that brings us together, and bringing into our minds and hearts now all of our brothers and sisters who are working to relieve suffering on this earth, who are using their eyes and ears, their hands and feet, their minds and hearts as instruments of kindness and caring, of forgiveness, of mercy and tenderness, of gentleness, of healing, of awakening, of a remembering, of unifying, of cooperating, of inspiring, of exemplifying the possibilities of human being and human life. And we give thanks for this day, the manifestation of our infinite life, and all the opportunities that it brings to us. All the potentials to be a light, to be a beacon in this world, a light in the darkness of ignorance and fear, of falsehood and deception. And now we bring into our heart and into our shared space of love all of the beings we refer to as animals, the beautiful celebration of life on this earth, of innocence, of joy, of capacity and creativity, of experience. We hold all animals in our hearts with loving kindness, with appreciation, with gratitude, with apologies, beings be free from suffering. May all of us awaken from the delusion of separateness. So we now send forth our aspiration and allow our aspiration to fill every cell of our being, to fill every thought and feeling, the aspiration in our heart, the deep personal aspiration that we hold for this lifetime, our purpose, our the reason we are here on this earth at this time, with our unique light, talents, and gifts to share, with our unique aspiration. And we give thanks for the unique talents and gifts and abilities and aspirations of all of our loved ones and all our brothers and sisters in the movement for healing and peace and harmony and awakening here on this earth. So we see ourselves now as a web of consciousness, those of us gathered here right now are connected with each one of us, a whole web of relationships. And they are connected with a web of relationships that includes all human beings and all living beings. So now we just exhale the light of loving kindness, filling the whole web of life, the whole web of being with love, and see the light of love radiating to be a blessing to all human beings and all living beings of the past, present, and future. Breathing and radiating love. Breathing and radiating compassion. Knowing that compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Breathing and radiating joy. Joy of our true nature, and seeing the whole web of life now bathed in the light of joy, and finally abiding in peace and harmony, and with every exhalation radiating the light, infinite peace and harmony, the truth of our being, of all being, filling the whole web of all relations with harmony and peace, with respect and kindness, with inclusion, and appreciation. So together now, we join our hearts and give thanks for this precious opportunity of a human birth, this opportunity to awaken to our true nature evermore every day, and to shine the light of our awareness into the web of relations for the benefit of all beings. And we give thanks knowing that humanity is awakening, and that we are part of that awakening, to live our lives as we are intended on this beautiful and abundant earth as celebrations of love and thanksgiving, creativity, and co-creativity. We give thanks knowing this is so, and so it is. Okay, so bless you all. Thanks for joining in our meditation together. And we have, quite a few things we can talk about here. I'll check and see. I see there's a few different things in the chat here that are going on. And people are concerned about vaccinations. I don't know why you're worried about that. Minor detail. goodness gracious. Well, there's, okay, all right. I'm just working on an essay that I think goes into sort of the background of a lot of what we're going through right now. And we've talked about it, I think, over the months. And maybe I'll say a few words that I think may be helpful. It's really very complex, the whole thing. It's simple on the surface. It's very simple. But then when you look at how everything is playing out, I think it's very complex. So the basic idea, as I write about in the World Peace Diet, is that the core of our culture is hurting animals. That's the invisible core. And nobody knows that. We think, we're a computerized, highly modern society. We don't hurt animals at all. Nobody does that. But that is the essence of the whole thing. And it's everywhere. And for Madeline and I living in an RV, traveling around North America, we saw the massive devastation of animal agriculture. Just millions and millions of acres of genetically engineered corn and soy and alfalfa, and then you see these innocuous-looking sheds all over the place that are filled with thousands of chickens and pigs and, in many cases, cows. Cows are very often outside, but now turkeys and ducks and geese and all these animals. So that's it. And so it's basically the boomerang effect. If we're going to insist on imprisoning and stealing the health and the purposes and the lives of billions of animals, what makes us think that we're not going to reap that ourselves? So that, and I've been saying this for decades, that if we're going to insist on this, that we're going to track these animals, microchip them, force medicate them with there's over 10,000 different drugs and hormones that are used on these animals that give huge profits to big pharma. And abuse them and take away their freedom and so forth, then we're going to have to realize that we're sowing those seeds and that will boomerang back into our lives. And we're seeing that happening. So the title of the essay I just wrote is the vaccination of humanity, right? Vaccination. It's the root of vaccine. The root of vaccine is vacca, right? Vacca, V-A-C-C-A is the Latin word that means cow. And the the word vaccinia was coined by Edward Jenner, who's the father of vaccines, because he thought that if people had cowpox, that was related to smallpox, and he would take this fluid from the pustules of cowpox victims, people who were sick with cowpox, and then he would inject it into people, healthy people, with the idea that these healthy people who got this pustule fluid from cowpox would not get smallpox. So that's sort of the idea. So vaccination. But the basic idea is that we are being turned into livestock. You know, we are being turned into vacas, into cows. And we can see it before our very eyes in the sense that cows don't have rights. Cows and pigs and chickens don't have rights. They don't have, it's not my body, my choice for them. It's, you know, your body I own and your children I own, everything I own, and I'm going to take it away and use it however I want. And so we look at these animals as infinitely inferior to us, and that we have the right, sort of the divine right, to do whatever we want to them. And I think it's fair to say that there are some people walking this planet who have a similar view of human beings. And we better, those of us, we better stop doing this to these animals right away. And so, you know, we've been traveling the world, giving thousands and thousands of lectures, trying to help people stop abusing animals for the animals' sake, really, but also for our sake. It's terrible for our physical health, our psychological, our spiritual, our cultural, our environmental health. And it's given rise to corporations, right? I mean, what are corporations? Corporations, the basic idea behind corporations is I don't have to be accountable. It's limited liability, right? Limited liability, limited accountability. As long as you go into business for yourself, you're not a corporation, you can personally be sued. But once you create a corporation, the people that are running the corporation, the executives that make all the decisions, they cannot be sued. Typically, they sue the corporation. The corporation has to pay the fine. The corporation is a being, a legal entity, a person. Animals aren't even persons. You know, corporations are persons. And so it's a result, as I talk about in the World Peace Diet, of, you know, 10,000 years of abusing animals and at a very deep level, not wanting to ever be accountable for it. I mean, you know, the abuse of animals is something so horrific and so completely alien to our nature as human beings, to confine these animals from birth, to steal their babies, to impregnate them against their will, to mutilate them. We can't be accountable for that. So typically in the old days, we said God wants to be the sacrifice. We have to sacrifice to the gods. We kind of blamed it on the gods. It was their idea, not our idea. Now we kind of science. Now we're superior. We're so superior to them, and it's okay. So we have science and religion have been creating rationalizations for this behavior. These are the two religions in our society, equally powerful in doing that. But at a political economic level, we created corporations as a manifestation of evading accountability. And these corporations now, they don't die. I mean, at least, thank goodness, human beings who accumulate a lot eventually will pass away, and we're get rid of them. If they're really, you know, psychopathic and sociopathic human beings that get a lot of power, eventually they die. But corporations are by definition sociopathic. Their only purpose is to maximize the return on the investment. You know, that's sociopath, right? They just want to maximize their own benefit and try to outsource all the expenses, right? I mean, to try to, this word for it I can't think of, but anyway, to basically externalize that, externalize all the costs. So try to get taxpayers or consumers or animals or ecosystems or future generations have them pay the price so they can increase their profits and their executives can get more money and so forth. And so the very most corrupt of all corporations are the pharmaceutical companies. I mean, this is objectively true. There's no companies on planet Earth that have been fined more money, billions and billions of dollars, for malevolent behavior of deliberately deceiving and killing people than the big drug companies like Pfizer and all these big drug companies. So Merck and all of them. So they are by far the most corrupt. They have the biggest budgets for lobbying Congress, and the executive branch and the judicial branch of state, local, federal, national, county. I mean, at every level, they've got so much money because these drugs are really cheap to make. So they have gigantic profit margins. You know, it costs $3 or $1 to make something that sells for $100. So they are the most corrupt, the most powerful, and they control the media. And you've heard me say, being raised in a family of a publishing company, I know in my bones that the advertisers determine what's reported in the newspapers. So you have the biggest advertisers, and then they pose as philanthropic organizations. They control the AMA, the CDC, the WHO, the USDA. I mean, they control everything, the NIH. So there's a revolving door. So the power of these corporations and the malevolence of these corporations is beyond doubt. And the fact is, they're the most anti-vegan force on the planet also. And you know, people think that the most anti-vegan force must be the meat companies and the dairy companies, but they're not, they are, but they're not, people still have to eat. So the meat and dairy industries are diversifying and making profits on plant-based meats and plant-based milks and plant-based, they can still sell something. The pharmaceutical industries make no money from healthy people who take responsibility for their health. They make no money. I have not paid a dollar in 50 years to a drug company. And Madeline's the same way. I mean, I haven't spent a penny. I haven't spent a dollar. I haven't, you know, I'm not giving them any money ever. So that's their worst nightmare, is people who are taking responsibility for their health, eating organic, plant-based meals. And food is not the only guarantee of health. I mean, there's our food, our relationships, our quality of our relationships, meditation, exercise, air, water, having a purpose. I mean, health is complicated. It's not just food at all. Mental attitude is probably the most important thing. So, but the basic idea is that we've got this very powerful industry that is extremely anti-vegan. They hate the vegan movement because that's where their money comes. Their money comes from animal exploitation. They, as I said, they have this 10,000 drugs and hormones and antibiotics and chemicals that have been approved to be used on these animals. So they're making billions of dollars in sales. All these animals are force medicated with huge amounts of drugs. Cows and pigs and chickens, factory farm fishes, all these animals. And then people get sick from eating all that toxic food, and so they make all their profits from the people who eat animal foods, who have diabetes and liver disease and kidney disease. And then people have all the psychological problems that go along with this. The same thing the animals have. It's the boomerang effect. The animals are suffering insomnia and depression, and so they make huge profits on drugs for insomnia and depression for people. So the last thing they want is people going vegan. That's their biggest nightmare is going vegan. So this is the force. It's spreading fear in our population because there's nothing that makes people more sick than being afraid. You know, Brian Clement, who's the founder of Hippocrates, he says basically, and to make it very simple, he says health is 25% nutrition, 25% exercise, and 50% mental attitude. Now, that's very simplistic. But I think he's onto something. You know, these are the big three. And these three are very important. And he says mental attitude is the most important. So when you have a situation where there's an industry that is clearly malevolent and self-centered, who has unmatched power over the media and the government, and over the people's minds from birth, we're told, I mean, I'm so lucky I didn't get raised this way, but most people are raised, and if you're not feeling well, then go to the doctor and go to the drugstore and get an aspirin, get a Tylenol, get a Viagra, get some Right Guard, get some Rolaids, get some Alka-Seltzer, get a medication, get a prescription, some toxic chemical poison and put it into your body. That's what we're told. I mean, in a thousand ways. There's nothing more detrimental to our psychological, physical, and cultural health than this narrative of poison. And you got to remember that the drug industry, the pharmaceutical industry, is actually a subset of the chemical industry. Chemical industry, it's actually just part of the chemical industry. Chemical industry is huge. And there's like something like over 100,000 chemicals that are now being spewed into the air and the water. Glyphosate, for example. I mean, glyphosate is absolutely, I'm reading a book right now by MIT. It's fantastic. It's about glyphosate and the deadly ramifications of glyphosate, which is a broad spectrum antibiotic. It's in everything. If we don't eat anything you eat that is not organic, you're eating glyphosate. I mean, this is causing so much sickness and disease in both vegans and non-vegans who think, well, I don't have to eat organic. A few years ago, you could maybe get away with it. You can't anymore. I mean, glyphosate is residues are found on everything. Greens, beans, grains, vegetables, fruits, nuts, seeds. Of course, meat, dairy are full of it, but maybe we don't eat that. But plant-based foods, they all have glyphosate residues because it's in the water. It's sprayed on everything. It's a weed killer. It's sprayed on everything. It's not just GMO food. They spray it on everything. And it just attacks the microbiome of the soil. It's destroying the microbiome of the soil. Without healthy soil, we can't grow healthy food. And so the foundation for food has gone from oil to soil, soil to oil, these are all petrochemicals, the petrochemical industry. It goes back to Rockefellers. And it was all planned out, basically, in a very malevolent way, unfortunately. But it's great. I mean, they make a lot of money that way. It's great for them. But, so you get a lot of sick people. See, that's the thing. The pharmaceutical industry is a subset of the chemical industry. Every drug is a chemical. They're all poisonous. They're all toxic. All of them, without exception. And so you got 100,000 toxic chemicals being spewed into the environment. People are eating those, drinking, getting that into their, but they get sick. What is sickness? That's another whole problem. What is sickness? People think that getting sick is bad. And I always say, no. Getting sick is good. I celebrate if I get sick. I mean, it doesn't happen that much, so I don't get to do it that much. But if I get sick, it's just my body cleaning out, right? I'm getting a runny nose. I'm cleaning out. My body's natural intelligence and wisdom is cleaning out. If I have a sore throat, whatever, cough, it's a cleansing. And if we go too long without cleansing, if we suppress the cleansing by taking some medications, which is the worst thing to do, then we stop the cleansing problem. Oh, now I feel better, right? It's like you have a really dirty house. You start cleaning it and you see, oh man, all this dirt everywhere. I'm not going to do that again. So pretty soon it gets so dirty you can't even move around. You can't even function. It's completely clogged with totally toxic dirt. That's what our bodies are like. If we keep suppressing the symptoms and don't want to get sick, so then we really get it, right? Then we get like a serious cancer or much worse, diabetes, all kinds of things. Liver disease, kidney disease, really serious things if we keep suppressing the symptoms. So don't do that. Just go through the sickness. Don't take a drug. Don't stop it. It's great. Celebrate. Take a break, whatever. And let your body cleanse. Because if we don't get these 100,000 toxic chemicals out of our body, what's going to happen? And then what we do is, instead of that, we go to the drugstore and put in some more toxic chemicals into our body. And then the chemicals go through us, go into the water, and then other people have to take them in. They're in the water. They're in everything. And the animals. I mean, I told you about that once, how the dolphins off the coast of California committing suicide, beaching themselves, and they found it was because of all massive amount of Prozac people are taking, and it goes through them into the water, ends up in the ocean, and the dolphins commit suicide. You know, so, you know, what we do, what the drug companies do, I mean, how anyone could trust the pharmaceutical industry, which is a subset of the chemical industries, which make money when you get sick, right? The more sicker you get, the more they love it. It's like the Pentagon, right? You think the Pentagon wants peace? They go around the world trying to create conflict and misery and violence because that's how they make their money. They need to have, oh my gosh, we got enemies everywhere. We got terrorism. We got war. We need, you know, and we got the people go, you know, paying all these taxes instead of getting the roads fixed and everything else. We're going to war because, gosh, we got to make money. It's all about the money. The same thing. And this war against nature, which is our own true nature, is the war. It's the war. That's a big pharma. Big pharma knows it's very lucrative to have lots of enemies. Just like the Pentagon knows it's very lucrative to have lots of enemies. What better thing than to have bacteria and viruses as our enemies? I mean, we're made of bacteria and viruses, right? There's more bacteria and viruses in my physical body than there are cells of that are me. So, I mean, there's nothing. It's incredibly deceitful, and it makes me wonder how we've been so miseducated and dumbed down. But I can see why, because of animal agriculture. And that's why I've been saying for so long that as vegans, it's important for us not just to go vegan. You know, people go vegan, they think they're done. Right? Oh, now I'm vegan, I'm done. I don't have to do anything else. I'm vegan, I'm perfect. You know, it's all, everybody else is a problem, not me. And so now we have all these vegans who went vegan and think they're done. And they don't go anymore. They don't question they don't question big pharma. They don't question materialism. You know, animal agriculture is the foundation for big pharma. It's the foundation of this fear and alienation, of this fear of nature and alienation from nature and animals. Right? You can't get more alienated from nature than to own animals as property and then stab and rape and kill them and steal their milk. And now we're totally afraid of nature, and we want to destroy nature because we're attacking nature all the time. We're these poor animals. I mean, there's nothing more psychologically and spiritually damaging than animal agriculture at the deepest levels, and socially. So it completely divorces us from nature. Nature becomes something to be owned and dominated and exploited and oppressed. And so then, obviously, we're going to be afraid. It's going to fight back, right? So now, since we're the invisible attackers of all these animals, we're terrified of invisible attackers that are all around us, the viruses and bacteria. And then we have the media easily scaring people, and vegans too. I mean, I'm amazed. Vegans buy into it like everybody else because they never made an effort to meditate, to question the deeper societal structures, the arrogance of people. I mean, it's this bigotry of like we're the superior species, better than any other species. The other species don't mean anything. They're just here to be used by us. And then we're wounded by that, and so we maintain that. I've seen so many vegans who look down their noses at spiritual traditions of other countries, like in India, for example, or in China, many Eastern countries, there's this basic idea of energy, of prana or chi, that whatever you do, you should do it with love because there's a reality to the energy that we put into the food when we're making the food or in the way we look at each other. And of course, animal agriculture is injection to all of us, even vegans, because if we don't question it, this idea that we're separate from nature, that we're superior to nature, that we're superior to other societies, and that everything is basically matter, and it's all completely random unfolding of things on this earth, like through this random evolution, and our only purpose is in this meaningless universe is to pass on our genes. I mean, a lot of vegans believe that. They don't see that that's animal agriculture programming us. And now we even, I saw this. I mean, this was one of the lowest points I've ever seen the vegan movement go was recently there was somebody on a summit who was talking about veganism and saying that we have this big problem in the vegan movement of people who are conspiracy theorists, who don't trust the pharmaceutical industry, who don't trust the doctors, believe in spirituality, and they're giving the vegan movement a bad name. I mean, it's like, you know, Big Pharma is infiltrating, you know, obviously. I mean, they've infiltrated all the movements. But the problem is a lot of these people are well-meaning. You know, they've just never done any introspection. They're so wounded and afraid of spiritual truth. The fact that what we are is what makes this possible. To look beyond, that's what veganism is. Veganism is spirituality. It's not seeing a piece of meat when we see an animal. We're seeing the being. We see the infinite life in her eyes, and we honor that naturally. But we can't if we don't see it in ourselves, if we don't experience that. And so going vegan, we have to keep going and question materialism and evoke and cultivate our spiritual life in an unending effort of aspiring to clarify and purify our consciousness from all of these programs. And I'm telling you, from my experience, and I'm still just scratching the surface, I mean, through the many, many thousands and thousands of hours of being a Zen monk and all that of meditation, the programming is so deep, and the illusions, that's why I love this, you know, the teaching of letting go. We need to let go, let go, let go, let go. Let go of every concept we have about ourselves and really find out. Really find out from our direct experience. And that's the beauty. The absolute beauty, and when we see how beautiful we actually are, how we are, sometimes I use the metaphor of the sky that is undamageable ultimately. When we understand that, we can begin to give people space. I mean, I'm not upset with anybody, but I can just see the vegan movement is crippled by delusion of people who don't question the official narratives in our society that are not only enslaving animals, but enslaving human animals, and will completely enslave us if we let it keep going, right? I mean, just, you know, it's very difficult to gather anymore. There's a few courageous people. This guy I'm going to have on next month, I'd like to have him, because his name is Mike Young. He's scheduled about 20 veg fests that are all totally mask-free and vaccine-free and all that stuff. And I just think, you know, this is how it has to be. You know, we need to resist our own enslavements, just the way cows and pigs and chickens resist their enslavement. They do. They resist. They try to escape. Good for them. We have to help them. And there'll be forces that will help us, but not if we just acquiesce. And why do we acquiesce? Because we are eating animal foods. Most people are eating animal foods, and so since they're eating animal foods, they just go along with whatever the slavery program is because they're slaves. If I'm enslaving animals and I'm exploiting animals, I'm going to be exploited and enslaved myself. But a lot of vegans drank the same Kool-Aid and they never went far enough. They just stayed at the level of meat eaters, basically, in their understanding of spirituality. And so now we see our movement is paying that the price for that. Okay, I'm just checking the time. So that's my analysis of the situation. There's a lot more to it in a way. It goes into fascinating places. But underlying everything is the good news, the really good news that we do not have to be afraid of nature. We do not have to be afraid of microorganisms. We do not have to be afraid of animals. We do not have to be afraid of each other. We don't have to be afraid of spirituality. We don't have to be afraid of anything. What we need to do is just understand our true nature, which is love, which is there is no fear in love. In love, we just act and we do our dharma, right? We unfold our potential. And I think that's the kind of inspiring example that is being called on all of us now to just do the best we can to be a voice for healing, for kindness, for awareness, for real health, and not go along with this fear narrative, because there's something called the placebo and something called the nocebo, right? You know, so the placebo is when you take a sugar pill and you think it's going to make you healthy, and miraculously you get healthy, and they found that virtually all drugs are placebos. They don't do anything, and these poisons don't do anything, but except why your mind believes in it. Well, there's nocebos, which is exactly the same thing, but on a negative level. And so you have all this information that we're surrounded by a deadly virus. You're probably going to not feel very well. You're probably going to lose your sense of smell and taste, and you're going to be sick. And by the way, you've got to isolate, and you've got to stay away from other people, and you've got to put a mask on so you can't breathe. And you got to keep inhaling everything your body. We have like five major ways to get rid of toxins that our body uses to get rid of toxins. The main one is through our breath. That's the biggest one. So you block that, block the ability to get rid of toxins, block the ability to smile, to talk, to express. I mean, they're finding that children now, they did tests, they just came out, that children over the last year and a half have much lower IQs. They score much lower on cognitive ability because of masking. It just dumbs people down. They're already getting dumbed down by the educational system on a massive level, but this really takes it to a whole other level. And so I'm so delighted that I've still never worn a mask or Madeline. But the whole idea is that, this masking and this covering up and dehumanizing of people is demonic, and it's what we do to animals. It's what we do when we want to destroy the independent thinking and the heartfelt feeling and the sense of solidarity and connection and kindness with fear. And it's all a bunch of lies. And I'm telling you, we've got to see through this. And the livestock motif is alive and well right now, and that's what's happening. So I've decided, actually, and it's going to happen if all goes well, that I'm putting on a summit, and it's going to be 1 month from today exactly. I think it is September 16th, the third Thursday of September. It's going to go for 4 days. I'm having 4 speakers per day for 4 days, Thursday, Friday, Saturday, and Sunday is that right? I think that's right. Anyway, it's somewhere around there, 16th to the 19th of September. And it's two main themes. I'm having leading experts speak on these two main themes. One is the vital importance of veganism for our world today, for our physical health, our environmental health, our psychological, social, cultural, and mental health, and spiritual health. And then number two, the vital importance of questioning the medical pharmaceutical narrative that has taken over the media and the government, and it's destroying and eroding our freedoms and our whole society. So it's going to be combining those two things. And so I hope you can all spread the message about that. I'll send the emails out about it. But I've invited a lot of people. I guess I can't tell you who I've invited, but I'll let you know soon. I should hear back in the next week. I've invited well-known vegans who are also questioning this. There are some. There's a lot, of course, that don't. I mean, that's a whole other discussion. The MDs, I mean, MDs, I love MDs. They're wonderful people. But most of the MDs, especially those who are in hospital settings, I'm not sure what it is, but they're in a prison. It's the training. I understand it. They've gone through a training where they've learned. They're not scientists. They're not at all scientists. There's no scientific training at all in becoming an MD. You're trained in protocols, and so they've learned to follow the protocols. And in the vegan movement, the MDs, the vegan MDs are the gods. They're the high priests of our movement, and whatever they say, everybody bows down. And so they're all. And now the FSMB, the Federation of State Medical Boards, that basically is the overarching umbrella organization that controls all the medical boards in the entire United States, and includes every single doctor and nurse and everybody who's got a license to practice medicine of any kind is under their thumb. They've come out now and just recently and said that anyone, any doctor, nurse, any health professional who questions the official narrative will lose their license. You know, it was already pretty much de facto that way anyway, but now they've formalized it. So this is a prison system. They're slaves. They're in a golden cage. They get big salaries, lots of respect and power, authority, but you better not think for yourself. You better not have a heart that cares or is willing to look behind the curtain of the toxicity of these injections and how devastating and damaging they are. And we're just seeing the beginning of it. I mean, this is a global depopulation agenda, pretty obviously. So we've got this whole thing has been planned out for years. I mean, it's been planned out for years. So it's unfolding now. So the whole idea, though, I think, is to not be nonplussed by this, to just say, great, okay, there it is. Let's just redouble our efforts to share the vegan message, to live the vegan message of radical inclusion, love, compassion, and harmony and peace for all living beings. Just do the best we can to be a voice for kindness and love in all of our relations. And really, if other people don't agree with these things, that's fine. I mean, just do the best we can to share what's most important. And I've been so inspired to see what people are doing. Julie Griffin created this fantastic video. I think I have it here. I just want to draw everybody's attention to it. But there's so many people. I mean, I've got a whole page of videos actually and I'm just looking at it right now in the August resources. Since we can't travel and so many Zoom interviews and things. But she's got a new video, Confessions of a Former Carnivore. It's beautifully done. Beautiful, cosmic, wonderfully done video. Madeline, looks like she's ready to say something. Madeline's been making videos too. We've got her Intuitive Kitchen, the Summer Polenta video, and Power Rest. This is something that she really loves. Every day at around midday, taking a short power rest. Do you want to contribute something, sweetheart, to the whole? Okay. This is a big surprise, but I know.
Hi again. And I'd like to share a few things. Is this, can you hear me well, or do I have to get a little closer here to Will? Yeah, so I think in these times, it's very important to do some balancing activities, because we're all watching lots of videos to get informed and reading articles and keeping up with emails and all that kind of thing. So what I mean with that is especially blessed are the ones with gardens. And if you don't have a garden, you can have a few pots, one or two or more, and just plant a few things there, like tomatoes, some herbs, whatever you like, basil or peppermint or pineapple sage, and you can take a walk through our fruit forest and get inspired. Even if you just have a front yard, make it into a garden. And get this wonderful earth energy and the sun and all that. And also do some exercises, morning and evening. Morning is not enough. It has to be evening too. And you sleep so much better if you do some gentle exercises like bouncing on the ball. We have a video. You can get inspired or do some yoga or take a walk before going to sleep. And also, because this really makes you happy, it creates a really wonderful energy in your in your individual life, in your personality. And otherwise we go to eat decadent foods, which is really not beneficial. One gains weight, or one doesn't feel well afterwards, or it's like addictive. Eating chocolates and all kinds of things. Now I'm talking to people who don't like to hear that. You can still have cacao in oat milk you make yourself. You can see this all on video. Get your cacao if you like it, but leave out all the fat. That's really important. And eat whole foods, and then you feel so much better. And help some people, like random acts of kindness is very wonderful. Make it for a daily exercise to look if somebody could use something to have done or helped or something. And then take care of your relationships, the ones who are in your own family, the family of vegans, of freedom, of spirituality. So some of our blood family members, they fall away, unfortunately, but, you know, we have many more lifetimes we can connect with them again, maybe on a better level. So don't worry too much about that. So these are just a few things. You have to enjoy life. Even it's a dark cloud over us, we know that, but we can still enjoy it if we know the truth of who we are and do some of these suggestions, which makes you really feel much better, actually. So now I pass it on to Will again. So thank you so much. Thanks.
Wow. All right. Thank you, sweetheart. That was great. So anyway, I think that's just to underline what she's saying. There's no greater joy, I don't think, than taking responsibility for our health. And I think there's maybe I'll just say a couple of words about that. And then I'd like to open up for your questions. There's so many things written here in the chat, and I can't begin to read it all. I mean, it's great. You can copy it. I'll copy it and maybe have it somewhere. I can upload it if you want to save it. But when she talked about the exercise, you know, the great thing about exercise is that it gets the lymphatic system moving. And that's one of the main things in our so-called immune system is the lymphatic system. It's all the white blood cells and so forth. And even though our circulatory system has a heart that pumps the blood, the lymphatic system doesn't. And the only way that the lymph system, which consists of hundreds of miles of, or thousands, I'm sure, of miles of little tubes throughout our body, it's only by using our muscles. So walking, jogging, swimming, exercising, jump roping, I do a lot of that, jumping, these things really build up not only the health of the physical body, but they release endorphins and other substances that'll just make you happy. And our bodies are meant to move. The more we move them, the healthier, lighter, stronger, more balanced and flexible they'll be. So this is something, again, that the medical assistant, you know, think of this. I mean, this whole narrative they never once said, okay, everybody, make sure you get out, get fresh air, and eat healthy, organic, vegan food. Make sure your relationships are filled with love and tenderness and connectedness. I mean, there's nothing more important in many ways to our physical health than healthy relationships. I've seen this a lot. People can eat the most healthy food and be exercising, but if they're jealous or angry or alone or afraid in their relationships, their bodies are creating all kinds of problems because our body really is its own little drug factory. And so
we don't need to go to the store and buy drugs. If we think positive thoughts and give thanks constantly for everything that happens in our life, be grateful. We can be grateful, always can be grateful. Then our body is, the cells are going, wow, this is great. I'm so glad that I can be serving this being who has a mission, right? If we have a, when we have a mission in our life and we're grateful for our mission and for ourselves and for the people in our life and we show them our gratitude and so forth, we're giving a message to every cell in our being, the trillions of cells, to come on guys, let's show up for work here and do our job. And if we're not, if we're getting up in the morning and thinking, oh man, I don't like that guy and I don't look very good in the mirror, and, all right, you know, and what are we telling ourselves? We're telling ourselves, all right, doesn't matter, don't do anything. You know, we're gonna slowly, people are dying very young now, and I think a lot of it has to do with mental attitude and relationships. Exercise, healthy food. I mean, organic, whole, grow it yourself. Don't eat processed foods. We buy so few processed foods. And I think I'm so grateful that I have such a partner that feels the same way and even stronger probably than I do. That grinding our own grain and just buy things as close to possible in their natural state from people close by or grow it yourself. And then you know the energy. Because we're eating energy. We're breathing energy. Everything is energy. And then keeping our mental vibration at a high level. That's very important. Because if our mental vibration is at a low level, we're going to be attracting similar experiences into our life, and we pay the price. And when we don't, when we actually stand, as we say, stand porter at the gate of our thoughts, just be conscious of our thoughts and think loving, joyful thoughts. We have the power to do that and be aware of our thinking and not just be automatically, if someone says something we don't like, then just hold a grudge and be angry. I mean, that's unskillful. It's like putting our hand on a hot burner and think we're not going to get burned. You will get burned. So just stop putting our hand on the hot burner and start generating loving thoughts, and even in response to people who criticize us. I mean, that's really what we're called to do, to be generators of healing and awakening. That's what veganism is. As vegans, we're not reacting, we're creating. We're not just reacting to violence, we're creating nonviolence, we're creating contexts of healing and joy. So each one of us, when we get off this call, just think about that. We can go into our life and as much as we can create contexts that help people to remember the truth of their own being and not to be afraid and to feel that they are loved and to feel that they are appreciated, and make sure we're giving that to our own selves every day as well, and to the people in our lives. That's where it really counts. And that's what we can do. I mean, we may think, oh, I don't have any power. You know, these big powers out there, they have all the power. Bill Gates, he has all the power. He has all the money and so forth. No, you have just as much power. You have more power than Bill Gates, much more. You have the power in your world more than he does, much more. So more than anybody. So we can use our power. And this is the great thing. When we actually use it, it grows and multiplies and it develops and we become larger in the sense of our the footprint that we can have to make a positive difference in the world. So all of these things, I think it's important to see them going together to make health. It's our food and the quality of our food, the consciousness when we're eating our food, the consciousness when we're living our lives, our how much we're moving our body, of course. And then being creative and having a purpose. I mean, these are critically important also. And the more I think that we support each other in doing that, I think the more we'll be able to see this vegan movement not be crippled by materialism, but help lead entire humanity out of materialism to spiritual truth. This is the old battle. It's between materialism and the spiritual truth that we are infinite beings. We're not just this physical body. So don't ever, as soon as someone looks at you and says, oh, you're such and such a weight or such and such a height or you have such and such a disease. And that's what they do. That's what the medical establishment does. And that's what we all do. We judge each other by the outer body appearance. Cancel it in your mind. No. What I am is eternal. I don't have any shoe size or weight or height. You can't weigh a spiritual being. And remember that. Just remember and remind yourself, because we are swimming against the current here. There's probably never been as materialist and lost society in the history of the world than we have right now. I mean, oh my gosh. So to turn this around. But I think there's also tremendous positive things happening as well. So I'd like to give some opportunity for some comments or questions that people may have. And so please just raise your hand or press *6 or whatever if you'd like to say something here. We have a few minutes left. And if we can, I'd like to draw your attention to some of the resources too. But go ahead. You want to make sure we have some time. So, okay, Andy, go ahead.
Hi. Will, thank you so much. I needed this so bad. I really, really appreciate everything you're saying. This might be a little bit of a weird question. So I've noticed in my life, you know, I have happy moments. I have moments of fear, anxiety, I mean, all kinds of human emotions. And it sounds weird, but and you were talking about these corporations and how they always succeed. So I'm guessing the people who own these corporations or these billionaire elites, when they're raising their children, if they're raising them to think like the rest of the world is just like animal agriculture, and this is weird, just all of a sudden you're there and now someone else is there. are they raising it? Like, I have discovered when I'm out there doing things like, when I'm doing good things and wonderful things, I feel better about myself. When I'm doing things that I sense and know are, you know, because I'm either jealous or fearful or angry or something like that, I recognize and I don't feel so good. So I'm wondering, with this billionaire elite who are literally in these people that, you know, head up the pharmaceutical companies, how can they possibly ever feel good if they're out there murdering every day, all day long? If they're human, is it because they're raised differently that they think this is acceptable? Because I would think anybody with a heart and would want the capability to feel love, do you think they just never feel love and they just go through life like that? And
right.
You know, why aren't they getting sick and, you know, things like that? Or are they doing different things that are naturally healthy for them? And I don't know who mentioned it. Someone mentioned, I heard recently, that technology-wise and health-wise, some of these people are way far advanced than what they'll show on,
right.
You know, in loser things. So what do you think about all that? You know, are they, why aren't they getting sick if they're doing such horrible things?
Yeah, I think that's a little bit of a conundrum, but it's a good question, and I think it's kind of dark to go there. I've done quite a bit of research into that question, and the people, unfortunately, that are raised in the I think the rich, they're 0.1%, you know, wealthy ones that are the ones that really have the big money that control financial institutions, right, and the large corporations, they are raised in a very abusive environments. From the point of view of spirituality and human values, they're taught that they're superior. Like we're taught we're superior to cows, you know, they're taught kind of the same thing. But there's a lot of evidence, I don't really hate to talk about it, but there's a lot of evidence proliferation of satanic rituals in these families of various kinds that lock them into a certain way of being. And there's enormous evidence of blackmailing, the whole Jeffrey Epstein thing, and, these blackmail operations that use pedophilia. The thing is, we're sexually abusing infants on a massive scale, animal infants on a massive scale, and of course, the old boomerang effect. We're doing it to humans. I mean, this is well documented. I mean, the sexual abuse of children is off the charts right now on planet Earth. It's massive, and it's done a lot by this tiny wealthy elite. That's one of the main ways they get their power. Now, you've heard of adrenochrome, probably, the taking,
Of what?
Adrenochrome,
Like drinking the blood of people or something, or?
Yeah, it's one of the reasons that these people live a long life is they kill children in a very painful way, like we do in Korea, you torture the dog before you kill the dog, then there's a lot of adrenaline in the meat. And then when you eat the meat, it gives you, men love that. I mean, it's like gives you, builds your chi, supposedly. So, but there's, unfortunately, truth. I hate to talk about it, but, so there's these rings where this stuff happens. I mean, children are killed and, in terror and pain. And then the adrenaline is drunk by these people and gives them a longer life. So it's very sick, perverted stuff. But these are the people making the decisions. In government, if you go to these secret society meetings that are, have been going on for a long time. There's one right here in Northern California every year. And, this is all well documented. I don't necessarily recommend reading about it unless you are capable of reading a lot of horrific stuff. But these are the people, what we do to animals, they do to humans. And, The pharmaceutical industry, besides making lots of money on, on animal agriculture, that makes a lot of money on vivisection. And vivisection is really terrible. I mean, it's when you're torturing these animals in horrible ways and then killing them. But this mentality of vivisection, unfortunately, it's pretty rampant in the wealthy elite classes. So it's the behind the scenes. You're never going to you won't really read about it. And I don't necessarily recommend it, but don't think that these people are happy. I mean, the wealthiest families have the most miserable people. And that's why they're doing the things they're doing. And so it's very important for us to stay positive. And so that's why I don't really want to dwell on this, but it's important for us to focus on the beauty and majesty of life and the harmony that's all around us, the beauty of nature. And this old energy, this old dark energy of domination and exploitation, has been going. It's been a battle for a long time. It's the old dark versus light battle. And, there is, unfortunately, when people get so wounded from infancy, they pass it on to their kids. It's like that old saying, hurt people hurt people, and sexually abused children end up sexually abusing children themselves when they get older, and it goes through the generations, and it's rooted in animal agriculture. It's all rooted in animal agriculture. That's the way this whole system goes, and I don't know the beginning of it, if there's extraterrestrials that are behind the whole thing, or if it's a human thing. I tend to think it's probably something like that. But the most important thing is to just understand that the one I have power over is this one right here, how I respond to the people in my life and how I show up in the world as a force for healing and joy and freedom and love, and to address the highest in other people. People are wounded, that's it. And when people get wounded, they very often do hurtful things and they can't help it. And there are very powerful secret societies of various kinds where the people are loyal to each other because they've gone through all kinds of crazy rituals together that are really crazy stuff that they're doing. but they tend to go to the top of society. They tend to be the ones running the banks and the industries, the corporations and the governmental agencies. And so these people know that they're protected by each other. That's why Fauci doesn't have to worry, because it's all the same club. They're all in the same club. And they know that the governmental agencies and the courts and the media, it's all the same people. And they're all doing the same rituals. So, just a few of them united through this darkness can easily control people, lots of us, who just kind of go along and think the best of others and think, oh yeah, that's our governmental officials. We can trust them. They're good people. And we have to realize that they're deeply wounded and, they're unaccountable, and we need to not give them power. Don't give them the power. Don't do it. You know, take your own power. Common law. You know, we're doing a whole common law thing here in Lake County, where we just today actually sent off letters, a bunch of letters.
Your screen froze, or you froze, if you can hear me, but your screen is frozen.
Thank you. Okay. Is it still frozen?
There you go. There you go. Okay.
Okay. Okay. Anyway, so we just sent off letters to the department, to the county health director, that he does not have the authority. There are no laws that have been passed by the legislatures, signed by the governor, about masking, about social distancing, about shutting down businesses, about vaccinating. There's no laws. So all these mandates have no legal basis, and we refuse to abide. And we're calling them out. We're taking them to court for breaking the law. They're breaking the laws. They are criminals. This is a massive crime against humanity that's being enacted, and they don't have the right to do it. And so it's like they're pretending that they do. And if everybody believes it, it's kind of like. I heard this metaphor last night or a couple of days ago. It's kind of like somebody goes into a Halloween store and buys a police outfit, you know, and then goes out onto the street with his police outfit that he just bought at the Halloween store and starts giving people tickets and saying, you know, you got to go to jail. Yeah, no, they don't have any authority. They have no authority to do what they're doing. And we have to understand that, and just don't give them any power, period, because they don't have any power. Oh, I talked too long. Okay, we have one other person. Let's see. Thanks, Andy. Okay, let's see. Anybody else? Go ahead and press star 6 or star 9, whatever it is, to unmute yourself.
Will?
Yes.
I'd like to just mention that I find it really helpful to try to get my head around the financial crimes going on. And Catherine Austin Fitz is a very good resource for that. And she has something called Cash Fridays that she's recommended, that the way she describes it, if even like 5% of the population would just stop using credit cards on Fridays, and just think if we could stop using credit cards as much as we possibly can in our lives and use cash, because part of the whole plan is to take cash away and go to this digital bank central currency, which will be basically a control slavery system. So we cash, try to reduce the credit. It's just one practical thing that everybody can do.
Thank you. Yeah, I highly recommend that. We try to use cash as much as possible, and Catherine Austin Fitz is a tremendous resource, I think. You're right. Okay, Al Bon, you had your hand up. We have to kind of wrap it up here. Madeline is calling me to dinner here. Go ahead. Sorry.
Thank you, Will, for a great presentation this evening. I'm a hospital chaplain, and so I'm in the medical establishment, and I'm encountering patients all the time that I see as victims of the medical model, as well as the food industry and so forth. How do you work with and support chaplains, ministers who are talking to the people that they're coming into contact on the spiritual basis? It seems like in my field, we're on the outside and just marginalized.
So you feel that you're marginalized in the hospital setting. Is that what you're saying? By the professionals?
Yeah.
Right. Well, yeah, I'm sure you are. they're the priests, not you. I mean, they're the ones that have all the power. And this whole thing has become a faith-based religion, this whole thing. It's just no science. I mean, I have a saying I recently came up with, which is the least scientific institution in our society is science. It's the least scientific. there's no institution that's less scientific than science. I mean, science is completely, at this point, bought out, bought and paid for. So you're, from my point of view, you're a tremendous potential of light and awareness and healing in the situation, depending on the level of receptivity of the patients and to what degree you can be allowed to give your feedback to the patients without in some way, because I don't know what the protocols are, without in some ways going against what kind of medications are being given and all that. I'd have a hard time because to me, all medications really, for the most part, are poisons that we really, it's a tragedy. So, I think if you're allowed to perhaps, give people another perspective that their physical body is a divine instrument that has tremendous self-healing capacities and that the less they poison their body with these procedures and chemicals and allow their body to heal, that may mean questioning some of the protocols, but to say that there are so many, there's literally millions and millions of unexplained healings that the medical establishment cannot explain, right? It happens all the time. So, to be in some ways a voice for the integrity of their body to be able to heal without, being exploited by the medical system, because it's a system that's based on exploitation of the patients and getting as much money as possible. And it's all set up that way. So you're probably going to be looked at, with a little bit of suspicion. And I can see that. And, to try to, you know, be friendly and maybe you can find, I think nurses probably more than doctors will be your allies and, perhaps develop good relationships with them so that you can speak and you know speak to and I guess the patients can you know be trusted not to repeat to the doctors what you tell them. I'm not sure about that. Maybe they'll
yeah.
I mean it's dangerous. I can see it'd be really dangerous because they could kick you out.
For my bills.
I can imagine. That's very interesting. I haven't run across that question before, but I love that you're there and. As someone who, you know, can recommend a plant-based, healthy, organic way of eating, positive thoughts, that your body, you know, emphasize that the body's creating all these, healthy, pharmaceuticals without needing to have them injected, and to rely more on that, really. I think, because people get exploited. It's a total exploitation system. And the best thing is that people just don't ever go there in the first place. But if they, once they get in, it's kind of hard to get out very often. But thank you. That's a great question. I'll ponder it some more for next month too. Thanks.
Thank you.
Yeah. All right. Well, much love to all of you. I want to go ahead and I think we need to wrap it up here. Madeline is beckoning me enthusiastically for our meal and it's 10:30 on the East Coast and goodness knows, there's people in Europe. I think Davi has joined us from, it's probably the middle of the night there. So, let's just close. I want to thank you all. I don't know where the time goes. It's kind of a time warp, but I want to just thank all of you for your efforts. It's really an honor to be able to share these ideas. I know a lot of them are kind of hard to integrate, perhaps, in the way we're living our lives. But the most important thing is not to necessarily believe anything that I'm saying. Do your own research. Find out what's really true for you. I'm just giving some ideas, but ultimately you are the final arbiter of truth. And I think if the more that each one of us can develop the skills of critical thinking and questioning the narratives and connecting with our own inner wisdom, the more positive and life-affirming our choices will be. So please have a great month. I'll stay in touch with you about the upcoming summit. We have this also very soon after that, the upcoming retreat at Unity Village. Join us if you can at all possibly make it. It would be great to see you there. It'll be a fantastic time. Also, check out if you're on the way in Arizona or one of these other states where we're giving events along the way. And check out our videos. There's tons of videos. Please check the resources. There's so many things we're doing online that you can listen to and watch. I know we're all busy, but anyway, we're doing the best we can. So let's close with our prayer, the Worldwide Prayer Circle for Animals. And this is something we say every day at noon, and I hope you all join us at noon wherever you are. You can put a little alarm on your wristwatch or your cell phone or whatever you use, and we'll say it together. All right? So this is, it goes, compassion encircles the earth for all beings everywhere. Let's say that together three times. Thank you.
Compassion
encircles
the earth for all beings everywhere.
Yay! Again. Compassion circles the earth, all beings everywhere.
It'll sound better.
You'll sound better, right? Beautiful. Much love to you all. Our hearts are filled with love and joy. Go forth and multiply the message to the benefit of all beings.
Thank you. Congratulations on your anniversary.
Thank you.
And happy birthday.
Much love to you all. Thanks so
happy
much.
Happy birthday to you all.
Big birthday.
Vegan Jew.
Thanks.
I got like 3 cents in.
Much love. Bye-bye.
God bless you all.
Thanks.